participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity Burp. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WKFK. 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW. 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe.
And
the
Don't
Dear,
my favorite.
Stop the run. Stop the run. Can't stop the run.
Perfectly understandable mistake. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a real honest mistake, too.
Feels like August. It's April 18th. And here's your phone number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. That's the phone number if you're listening on New Don and Mike station. KABZ. 103.7 FM in Little Rock, Arkansas.
We're on to Little Rock?
Yeah.
We're in Clinton territory.
Yeah, the empire is growing.
How are you?
That's the national number, and here's the number from D.C., 202-432-1067. From New York, 877-692-1027. And Philadelphia, WYSB, your number, your special number,
yeah,
coming very soon. We're working on that for you. Here he is to my left and to your right, the dealer man, the man who's making my dreams come true.
That's right.
Because the Claritin is working.
It's working great.
Less scratchy in the voice than I did yesterday.
Well, with 2,900 pollen,
you sound better.
My God, who couldn't be scratched?
It's off the charts.
There is our friend, Guy Burnley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Listen, before we start the show, I know I wasted a hell of a lot of your collective time yesterday. You, Mike, you, Buzz.
Well, Don, you were passionate about your subject matter.
Wes. And all 6 million of you listening.
Being a sports owner, did you get permission?
Right here is the copy of Sports Illustrated with the gay picture of Patriots quarterback Tom Brady topless on it.
Hi!
Right.
You go on the inside here to page... Hold on. Page 30? Number... Well, the pages are not numbered.
Naturally. After all,
32, 34, 36, 38. On page 38, as they sent me along with the videotape.
Extremely high hopes.
There is a full-page article
right
on Slam Ball that has Pat Croce, formerly of the Philadelphia 76ers.
There he is.
Standing in front of the court, and you can see a guy jumping on the trampoline, making his way to the net. So, in fact, finally, the mystery has been solved.
Right.
There was such an article in Sports Illustrated.
Well, yes. We probably always knew. It's just we determined that the newsstand copies might not have had it.
It's there. And I got the tape, and I want to just tell you that the tape blew me away.
Really? Well, are you going to invest?
Yeah, I think. Well, I got to show the tape to my wife first.
Yes,
I've not been bold enough to show it to her yet, and I figured I wasted a lot of time yesterday just trying to find the stupid article.
Right.
So I didn't want to bring the tape in today and show you the tape on the air today.
Until you show it to your wife so you can really be committed.
Yeah, but at some point, I'll bring it and I'll show it to you, and then we'll watch it on the air together.
Don't ask me to invest in anything.
We can,
not exactly liquid right now.
We can find out what the deal is. So anyway, the mystery has been solved. It is in Sports Illustrated.
Very good.
And I did get the package, and they do want my money. They desperately want my money.
Sure. Well, you know, it sounds like it might be something big. I mean, that's how you make money in this country. You get it on the ground floor.
So, having said that, let me say that this is the last day that we're going to have these record-breaking temperatures on the East Coast.
I think so.
This will be the last day for you gals to come down with your homemade bikinis. And,
right.
Yesterday, all day during the show, the Browns are calling and saying, I'm on my way down, I'm going to...
Well, I think they're teasing us, is what I think.
And finally, at one point, I said to Joe, when Joe came into the studio, and he said, man, lots of girls are calling, man. I said, the next time a girl calls... And
does any girl talk to Joe where Joe, you know, like, questions her? Does Joe grill any of the girls that are calling?
I think the only
Rob's giving me the... Right. The only, no, he doesn't.
Joe grills...
He grills guys all the time.
Joe grills cheese?
He might... You know, I'm not...
Joe grills...
dogs?
Salmon? Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't think Joe grills our callers.
But I know he grills guys sometimes. Joe... But I'm going to let him, you know, answer. I mean, Joe, do you grill girls when they call in, especially after a bunch of them have called saying they're going to come down here in bikinis? Do you ever say, come on, are you telling me that you're... Do you ever grill them?
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Just that way. There's
too.
The answer, ladies and gentlemen.
The unflappable Joe Arden. So anyway, I said to him at one point yesterday, we were like almost done with the show, he said, the next time one of these broads calls in, put them on hold.
Right.
Let's get her on the air. And in fact, the girl called and she said, no, I really want to be in the homemade bikini contest. I want to bring my girlfriend down. We want to come down tomorrow. So we've had a bunch of girls who called yesterday and said...
And the day before.
They were coming today. And as of now, the only two girls...
And didn't we have a bunch of girls the day before that, too?
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, this is important because the lives of two older people are riding on this. She swore on her parents' lives that she'll come down today.
That's
true. You know, if we don't have a payoff with girls in bikinis, we'd have to... Maybe have to revert back to an old bit that we did many, many years ago.
What's that? What's that?
What? In a bikini?
Remember your outfit that you used to wear?
Yeah, I think that's a fine idea, right?
Oh, listen, Rob has...
That's where Rob has drawn the line.
Rob has issues with his...
What was the outfit we used to put Rob in?
We used to put Rob in a big Afro wig.
Uh-huh. Big bra and green shorts.
Lime
I'm
green.
Not sure the green shorts would even fit anymore.
Well, they probably... Wouldn't they fit better? Have you lost
I don't
weight
know. Well, it's
days?
Been a weird roller coaster ride as far as the weight goes. And you're no stranger to that. So you know how that goes. But you know, let me encourage the ladies to come down and save the lives of those senior citizens who are teetering. Mom and Dad hate to see you go.
And the girl promised on her parents' lives yesterday that she'd be coming down. So girls, just want to say that. Our doors are open. If you want to see the two girls who have already participated in the homemade bikini contest.
It's hot weather, Rob.
Go to WNEW.com and you will see everything you need to see there. I don't know if you saw the tape of the neck from Georgia who won... The $56 million?
I saw the girl.
Okay, right. Now, I saw her chewing gum on TV. Big inbred mouth chewing gum on TV while she was being interviewed about the excitement of winning the... And she got the lump sum payment, the $56 million.
First time she ever played the lotto.
But the real payoff was when they interviewed her parents.
Of course.
Oh, I didn't see that. Had her ma... Who incidentally looked like a skinnier, five-pack of cigarettes a day version of her, and her paw, who had a mullet to end all mullets.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. Isn't it great when people win that need it?
As they are being interviewed down at their trailer or wherever it is that they live in Georgia.
Right.
They're just sitting there going, well, we knew it was the number, and she was sleeping like a baby. We didn't even tell her till the next morning.
How much did she pick up? $100
million? $56
million. Yeah.
Yeah, after taxes, I think she gets like $58 million.
So she had to split it three ways, right, with the person in Jersey.
Right.
And then, was it Illinois? Well, it's $108 million apiece, but if you take the instant payoff, it's only, like, in her case, $58 million. So it really gives you a little perspective on Mr. Taxman country, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's before taxes. That's just if you take the instant payout as opposed to taking them in smaller lumps over the
years. So wait a minute. So you... That
I thought that $58 million was because that's what the government takes out.
That's before taxes.
Right.
That's her share before taxes. She's going to end up with probably...
That's how they get you.
Yeah. 35... You know, I mean, here we are talking about it like it's...
Right.
It's
all, but then,
well, it takes us like 4 years to
you see, I don't look at it as the windfall that she gets, which is just absolutely amazing. But when you really think about how much money the government gets out of that, it's insane.
Yeah, but don't forget, the lottery also run by the government will say, well, you can have all of it right now if you only take half.
Right.
Ching. And
right.
There are those people that don't think they're going to live the 20 years, so they just take it all.
I don't think there's any way I would I'd wait for the payout. I'd take it all.
Oh, I heard it was more than 20. I heard this was like a 60-year deal.
Oh, is it 60?
That, really? They're saying to you, you can have it all, but we will pay you in increments over 60 years.
So
in essence, what you're doing is you're betting the government that you're going to live for 60 more years.
Is it not transferable? Can you not, like, leave it to somebody?
I don't think so.
I wonder if it is.
But I wonder if.
When you slice it down, when they go, $300 million. You cut that basically in half.
Yeah.
$150 million. Then you take the government's... And you end up with...
Yeah, but still you end up with plenty of dough.
You end up with plenty of dough, but it's just amazing how much Uncle Sam gets
out of it. You still get plenty of friggin' dough.
You can have $58 million over 60 years or, right now, one pie chocolate a mile wide.
1 mile wide.
With glaze on it.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
She'll never
hey, Bonnie.
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
Hey, did you see the boyfriend that rolled out of the limousine there as well? He had the super mullet going as well.
Yeah, I mean, you could not think if you were casting a movie,
right?
And you wanted to get a bunch of inbred tards.
God, I wish I'd seen
it. Have one.
What do you guys think the over-under is on when they'll have, like, their trailer filled with NASCAR memorabilia and be totally broke?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, they've already ordered every Dale Earnhardt plate that's available.
You know, the place where I fill up with gas out here in Virginia, I almost picked it up, but it was too expensive. It was $195.
They're already on the internet shopping for
the Dale Earnhardt statue. Sir, I'm telling the story. Hello.
Hold on, Mike.
Hello.
Mike?
Yes.
Learn to listen.
Yeah, listen to learn.
Are
you talking to me or the caller?
Both of you.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm talking to the caller who I should be talking to.
Both of you.
So this Dale Earnhardt statue was $195.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was like a decanter, but it was in the corner, and it said, it was in this, like, this ratty convenience store, and it says, please don't $195.
Just a good old boy.
Written in pen.
Like people will go to their pawn on it. Oh, this is beautiful.
I thought it was like $19.95 or something, but when I saw it was $190, I pulled off that purchase.
Wow.
That's a bargain, Mike.
Just waiting for a lottery winner.
Yeah, I'll get it for ye. That's a bargain. One of the greatest days of my life ever was when someone finally got me the Elvis decanter, where you screw off Elvis's head and drink right out of his neck.
That was expensive, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was like over $200. Somebody brought that as a gift.
Worth every penny.
And here we go in our newsmaker hotline from New Hyde, which is Long Island.
Uh-huh.
We got to get this woman on the air.
New Hyde Park, yeah.
New Hyde Park, right. Yes. Woman goes to Dunkin' Donuts.
New Hyde.
Woman goes to Dunkin' Donuts. She says, she goes to the drive-thru, I think. I want a Boston cream donut.
Okay, like one of the cream filled with the chocolate icing.
Right. So she's driving down the road. She takes a bite out of the Dunkin' Donuts, and they're a sponsor. So we're saying, hi, good morning, Dunkin' Donuts.
Hi.
She allegedly takes a bite out of the Boston cream pie donut thing, and there's a hypodermic needle inside.
Oh, God. Like it sticks her?
Yes, that pokes her.
Oh, my
and
God.
And
through the cheek.
Oh, God. And now they don't know if she's got, the high five. They don't know if she's got hepatitis.
Oh, my God.
And we simply must get this woman on the show.
A hypodermic, you know what? Worse than I think, like an animal part.
Yeah, very scary. Worse than the story we've heard about, like mice being in McDonald's hamburgers.
Because
and stuff.
Got a mouse in there, you know. It's disgusting. It's horrible. It's gross. You get, you get stick by a needle. Yeah. A needle stick. You're doomed. She's been tested. She has to be tested again in 6 months, and so she's got to wait to find out if there was anything on the needle.
Oh, oh my God! Hello, Bob. Bob, Don and Mike show. Bob. See, the lines are turned on.
Bob.
Hello, yeah. Bob.
Don and Mike.
Abdul.
Abdul.
Hi, Bob.
Great show.
Thanks.
Listen, did you hear the guy that sold a ticket in Jersey, the store?
Yeah.
They get $1 million just for selling the ticket.
Yeah, well, and here's why. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. What are you laughing at?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Have you ever sucked the jelly?
Mikey. No.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yes, they get $1 million.
Have you ever sucked the jelly out of the jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Here's the deal on that. The reason that they pay the owners of these convenience stores when someone wins is it's real simple. It's an incentive for them to have the lottery machine in their convenience store because otherwise, you know, the people generally who buy lottery tickets, they don't go in and buy Slim Jims or Slurpees. And, you know, how many times you go into a place like a 7-Eleven,
right,
and all you want to do is buy a ballpoint pen or buy a bottle of water,
mm-hmm.
and there's some idiot standing there monopolizing the Chinaman's time
mm-hmm.
by picking out the lottery numbers. Well, it is a way of rewarding them, of saying, thank you for putting up with this crap.
Well, they also get something on top of it. When I bought my 20 tickets the other day, they got, like $3 out of it or something.
Yeah. Do they really?
A little something. They got a little something. Right. Very, very minimal. Maybe even a dollar or something like that. It was. I had to pay an additional amount of money, just a little bit. I'm pretty sure that happened.
Oh, really?
I was just, dizzy with the excitement of all of it, so I don't remember the details.
You got the fever.
I got the lotto fever. And then when the guy who came in with the lamb chop sideburns was like, I'm going to take a cruise to Hawaii.
Taylor Hart statue. Please, do not touch.
Oh, man, I should take a picture of it.
You know what? You should buy it.
You know, I will buy it.
You should buy it. You should expense it.
I'll buy it all expensive for the
buy
show.
Buy it, expense it, and we can have it here, and we can travel with it as our good luck charm.
It's right out, it's out in the wilds of Virginia, and I will, I go by there. I'll be going by there tomorrow morning. I'll do it.
Well, Mike, please do. There.
How big is it?
Huh?
How big is it?
It would be probably about 3 feet high.
No, it's
about 3 feet high.
Is it a bust or is it like his full figure?
It's a full action figure.
Is he posing?
No, he's just standing there. I think maybe he's got his helmet under his arm or something like that.
We could cross out his eyes.
If it's still there, I'll get it. It'd be beautifully decorative for the studio.
What do you mean if it's still there?
Well, it will be still there. I hope it is. Yeah.
I'll have Wendell put a shelf up.
It's a great. It's a tiny little store. My kids call it the little store. They always want to go to the little store, get a little snack and stuff like that.
A little snack and a little collectible.
Yeah. Laura picks them up. I'll tell Laura to pick it up today.
Please do.
Just I drop off, she picks up, and I'll say if it's still there, get it, and we'll bring it in.
Good. Please do because we need it for the studio.
Okay. Absolutely.
We do absolutely.
I think it's $190.
Well, we'll turn it in. It'll look expensive.
It's worth it. I mean, we could put it right like over there.
Yeah, right over there by your side of the console.
Or maybe even up there. Because there's more room up there than it would sit higher.
And we have our big Lycord picture of Elvis hanging in the studio.
All right.
Along with the beautiful portrait of the CEO of Viacom.
Right. I will tell you right now, over there, it will be perfect.
Okay?
It will be perfect.
It's beautiful. Think of that.
And he's cut out in styrofoam. You know, he's got it's like molded around him.
Yeah.
So he's covered in plastic, and it still says, do not touch. Do not touch, because, you see it, you immediately want to put your hands on it.
You know, the necks when they get in there. We cannot wait. Buzz, you realize,
what?
Oh, I wrote myself a note here that I have to talk with you off the air, but you realize it is just 2 weeks until the big reunion.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. In Chicago.
Yes.
The 20-year reunion of radio station WBBM-FM.
That's right.
Where Buzz and I worked in Chicago, and I think my wife has booked my flight, so you should find out so we can be on the same flight if possible.
I've already set mine, so I hope they coincide. We'll have to see.
All I know is that the emails are flying back and forth, that this radio station What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No. What'd you look at me like that for?
It's like, you know, I got to figure out, like, maybe midsummer you and I can go away somewhere. Because, you know, now you're going to Memphis with Rob, you're going to Chicago with Buzz, and, you know, we just never talk anymore.
Ouch. Oh, and listen, and about the thing to Memphis, you know, only my wife would bring this up.
What?
Only Kanisha would bring this up. God, you know, I love her.
Kanisha?
My
don't push it, Buzz. Okay. Don't go there.
Sorry, that's another one of the pet names we have for our wives.
Because you love her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I refer to her as royalty, she's Kanisha.
I see. Queen of the forest.
Queen Kanisha. Other times, she's simply my cunny honey.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the times when she's Kanisha.
I see.
Because the good people at HBO, they come to us and they say, listen, not as a giveaway, as a way of saying thanks for supporting HBO.
Right.
We'd like to give you a free trip for four people from your show.
Right.
Down to Memphis. We fly you down, put you up at a nice hotel, probably that one that John Grisham writes about all the time.
But Laura and I did this out in Vegas when we went out. We saw a fight out there, and it was absolutely fantastic. They really put out the red carpet, and you get great seats for the fight, which is the best part of it.
And you get to go to the Lennox Lewis Mike Tyson fight,
which is going
to
be a huge fight.
Oh yeah. So you know, I went to Mike first and said you get first choice, but you know, really, it would be a trip that Rob and I would enjoy because we could go to Graceland all day.
Well, you know how much I love Memphis.
You hated Memphis.
I wouldn't go to Memphis. I, you know, it would have to be a lot more of a draw than a fight like that to get me to Memphis. So I said, go enjoy yourself.
You know, I don't know if we've ever told on the air our best Memphis story ever, if we ever told the entire true story of what happened when I borrowed your car.
When I had to come get you?
I don't think we ever told.
Was that when you borrowed? Yeah, that's when you borrowed my car and you were
driving without a license.
You were driving without a license, and I did. I have to get someone else to drive me down there.
Yes.
Was it Rob or Charlie Broyhill?
No. Here's the deal.
Maybe Daryl. Somebody. You borrowed my car, and I knew it. It was just one of those days when you asked to borrow the keys.
Wow.
I didn't.
As the de facto historian of the Don and Mike show,
right?
I don't know this story, so this must predate me.
Well, so then we're going to screw it up, but we're going to patch it together as best we
can.
It
had to be Daryl.
It was one of the first times we went to Graceland to broadcast for Elvis Day.
Probably like 92 or 93 then.
It was a time that I had a rash of speeding tickets.
Was it the same weekend that we all went to see RoboCop?
Yes.
And I was joking and pretending I was RoboCop.
Yes.
And rear-ended the lady in Memphis.
Correct.
Could it be in the era of the morning show then?
No, it was when we worked at JFK.
It was JFK. And
then it had to be 92.
And it was it was the weekend of all sorts of auto trouble.
So, I can't drive because my license is suspended for 60 days because I've gotten so many speeding tickets. Mike doesn't know this. We get down to Memphis. Mike rents the car in his name.
I'm in the hotel room. We'd had a long flight. I'm Z-ing out. I get a call like at 1:30, 2 o'clock, or something like that.
In the afternoon.
Right. In the afternoon. Hey, listen. I know I don't have a license. Can I just borrow the car?
I said I'm so bored. I want to go to a store. I want to get out of here. Can I borrow the car?
And I think that there was a little trepidation on my part. I think I was just a little hesitant because I had one of those little voices going, "Don't do it. Don't let him have the car. He's not going to drive properly." So I gave you the keys to the car. You took off. I went back to sleep.
And then
I get a call maybe an hour and a half later.
And I got caught red at a red light.
Ooh.
And the cop says, "Can I see your license, please?"
Mm.
And I said, "Well..."
Oh, that's right. Yeah, now it's coming clear.
I said, "Well..."
Because I didn't come to you at the scene. I went to the jailhouse.
Went to the jail to meet me.
Right, right.
I said to the guy, "Here's my license, but..." You're going to run it on the computer, and right. You're going to find out that the license is temporarily suspended for speeding.
This is when they made you sit in the back of a cruiser.
Yeah, and he said, "Well, that's okay. Whose car are you driving?" And I said, "Well, I'm driving the car of my partner, my DJ pal." And they said, "Great. Where's the paperwork?" And I don't think the paperwork was in the car.
I don't know.
So at that time, they're running now a check on the license tag to find out if I'm driving a stolen car.
Yeah, and you're in a heap of trouble because you don't have the paperwork on the car, and you shouldn't be driving the rental car anyway,
so
because
what,
I'm the only one that's supposed to be driving. Well, I'm kind of at fault, too.
So what they do is they treat me real nice, but they bring me to the jail.
Yeah, they have to. The jailhouse.
The jail.
The jailhouse, H-A-U-S.
And We get there, and I have to then call Mike and say, hey, Mike. Hi, it's me. I'm in jail. I ran a red light, and as it turns out, you know, my license is suspended, and the paperwork for the car, the rental car, it's not in the car, and they think that the car might be stolen.
And I had to get, so I had to get Daryl, I think our engineer, or someone.
Yeah.
I had to borrow a car to go to the jailhouse, but in between, I had to go across the street to like a bookstore where our agent had wired you money to get bailed out.
Yeah.
So I had to bail you out of jail.
But it was the nicest jail I've been in.
And I get there, and you had completely befriended. You were in a jail cell with the door open.
It was like Andy of Mayberry. There was a preseason football game on.
Oh.
And me and the cops...
He's watching the game with the deputies.
We're watching the game. And they were... They had some sweet tea.
Oh, that's nice.
Guys, we're done.
True.
Cookies?
Mike walks in.
I'm expecting, really, from the call I got, because the call I was like,
yeah.
Hey, man. Listen, you gotta help me out here.
I'm in jail.
I'm in jail.
I've never been in jail in my life. I'm in freaking jail.
I'm like, where's the car? The car's at the jailhouse.
Jailhouse!
You have to go get the, like to some bookstore or something, and get the money. I'm having the money wired to bail me out.
My bail was like $500. Right. I didn't have any money. This, of course, was before the advent of cell phones,
right.
Before the advent of an ATM.
Right.
So when I had to...
So I'm expecting to go down to the jailhouse so I can see you in the corner being raped by some guy with tattoos. And I get there, and it's just... I mean, really, the door to his cell is open.
Wide open.
And he's sitting, like, in the outer office, you know, behind one row of bars, like on the other side where the crooks are and the jailers are.
Right.
He's sitting there, like, with a semicircle of chairs watching a football game with all these guys laughing.
Well, they knew that I wasn't a crook.
Right. Threat, right.
You know, they lectured me about you shouldn't have driven, and I said, I know I shouldn't have driven.
But I came there, you know, with the money, like Johnny Rescuer, you know, thinking I'm going to pull you out of this horrible situation. And my God, it looked like you was you'd prefer to stay the rest of the afternoon.
That was just what... I think that was the first time we'd ever been to Memphis.
We had a lot of events in Memphis. Well, you know, in that part of the country, Memphis, Tennessee, Tulsa, Oklahoma, there were always interesting things going on.
I don't think we have to revisit Tulsa, do we?
Nobody likes a rental car more than you. Nobody likes a rental car more than you. So much so that you're just jumping for joy.
All right.
Pontiac 3000. I think that's what it was.
We went to broadcast. Oral Roberts had announced on the air, on his TV show, that if God didn't do something
right
by a certain day...
If he didn't get a certain amount of money, God would take his life.
Call him home. Yeah, he was going to be called home.
That was it.
We went down on the day he was going to be called home to see if he'd die.
Because Oral Roberts had gotten on the air every day and said on his TV show back when he had one, you know, I need $5 million, and if I don't get it by April 23rd,
right,
God is calling me home. So we went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Oral Roberts University.
Great town. Yeah.
We wanted to monitor if, in fact, Oral Roberts was going to die.
We actually went into the City of Faith Hospital and saw that it was 90% empty.
Wow.
That they really didn't have any beds that were occupied. There really wasn't... It wasn't a really functioning hospital.
It was like a scam.
It was total scam. And then they kicked us out of there, so we got chased out of there.
Everywhere we went.
We were looking for a little nightlife and heard about this bar called The Stable. And I walked up to a... Stable was a nice little gentleman's club.
Sounds nice.
And I walked up to this cop car to ask directions.
Oh,
underwear.
The dogs.
And there was this canine unit in the bed just going... It's just fascinating.
By the end of the morning show, we had spent the entire morning. Now, the station had spent a lot of money to send us down to Tulsa,
right,
for this Oral Roberts is Going to Die show. And everywhere we went, we were refused. We were stopped by the rent-a-cops,
right,
at Oral Roberts University.
We were doing the show by phone. We were stopping. I think we were stopping at payphones.
Yeah, we were everywhere we went, we were stopped. So finally, we had to go back to our hotel. And it was the last hour of the show.
Right.
And there was nothing we could do. And I was looking out our hotel window in the parking lot where there was the rental car.
Right.
And I don't know exactly how I ended up.
They shut down our broadcast because I believe... Don decided to do a little dance on top of the car.
Hey, wait a minute.
We just lost power. Man, isn't that weird? We were talking about Oral Roberts University and the lights went out.
Are we back on the air? Were we ever off the air? Were we ever off?
No, we were always on the air.
We were always on. We had a big power failure here when we were talking about Oral Roberts. That is scary.
Yes, we just had a power surge right in the middle of that story. Basically, what happens is they kick us out of this place, and on the way out...
Then Don decides that the last, like, 20 minutes of the show is going to be, you know, crazy car stunts. He starts by jumping on top of this Pontiac, putting this huge dent in the roof.
On the roof. And we didn't notice... Now, I was just dancing up
on the roof. He was dancing.
I was dancing on the roof.
Literally caving this roof in.
We didn't notice it until we went back up to the hotel room.
You meant no harm. You could have had a nice-sized swimming pool in that roof. Completely caved in.
From the window of the hotel.
But, you know, it was like there was nothing to do in that town. And, you know, you just go a little squirrely. Yeah. You go a little crazy. Especially, like, when security's chasing you all over the campus.
Well,
it's nuts. It's wacky.
Let me get back to this Memphis thing. And then I got to get back to the bus thing. So, HBO, they give us this trip.
Right.
Go down to Memphis. So... I say to Mike, you know, you get first dibs.
I say, go, take Rob, have a good time.
Right, so Rob and I are going to go. We're going to bring our wives and figure it'll be great that, you know, Carrie and Frida get along great. They can go shopping during the day.
Right.
Rob and I can get our Elvis fix during the day. Then we can all go to the fight at night and have a nice time. Well, my wife immediately, Kanisha, she says, well, what about my birthday?
And is that her birthday weekend?
Yeah, that's the weekend of her birthday. And I said, well, that's part of the birthday excitement.
Right.
So now all I've heard for the last 2 days, now keep in mind we're being handed a free trip by HBO to go to the fight of the last 10 years. All I've heard is, I'm going to be celebrating my birthday in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to be celebrating my birthday with Elvis Presley. Last night we got into a big discussion. She said, I know what's going to happen. We're going to get down there, and you're going to be with Rob, and you and Rob are going to want to do all the Elvis stuff.
Right.
And you're going to just leave Carrie and I alone, and then when you're done with the Elvis stuff, you're going to go do the boxing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we all get done with the boxing stuff, we're going to come home, and I went, you know... Hold on. Where's my... This is
it reset itself because of the power.
Okay.
Oh, power.
I went, you know... Bingo, you're right.
That's how the weekend's going to go.
That is the weekend. So she's never happy. And she's not happy about the fact that that in 2 weeks, Buzz and I are going to Chicago for a weekend that I'm sure will be absolutely out of freaking control.
Oh, yeah, we DJs together.
Because, you know, when we worked at B96...
It was a crazy time in the mid-80s.
I'm telling you, this radio station, this B96 radio station, this station... People got high, people got drunk, people screwed all the time. I mean, it was the only radio studio I've ever worked into my life that had a lock on the inside of the door.
Oh, those days.
So that disc jockeys could lock themselves in the studio.
There you go.
There were multiple people having sex with multiple people every Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Sure.
The program director, I swear to Christ, had a disco ball in the ceiling of his office. Fridays at 5 o'clock, the lights would go off, the disco ball would go on.
Right.
The music would start to play, and people are openly walking around the station, drinking, smoking dope, doing other stuff.
Wow. It's the go-go 80s.
Yeah, it was a nutty friggin' time.
Sure was. And you're going to rekindle that type of
thing. Well, you know, we no longer live that lifestyle.
No, we're older now.
Do we, Buzz?
No, we don't.
But the gang is getting together. Yeah, that's right. Look at him, Mike. Don't look at me. Look at him.
Look, see, I'm much too old for that. I'm just giving some looks. I'm pointing some fingers now, okay?
You know what?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about me.
Okay, very good.
I learned my lesson.
Very good, okay. You know,
someone hasn't learned his lesson yet.
All right, you just be careful, boys.
Yeah, we will.
Be careful out there.
Suffice to say... All of the WBBM good guys are getting together.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Rockin' Robbins, Gary Spears, Big Joe Dawson, Karen Hand.
They're all going to be there.
John Scott, Buddy Scott.
Oh, Buddy Scott, your friend Buddy Scott.
Yeah, we're all good. Getting together. It's 2 weeks from now, and that's the other thing that Frieda's harping on me about. It's like, well... Somehow, the trip to Memphis, even though I'm bringing her on that, I think that'll be a fun getaway for us. Somehow, the trip to Memphis is bad because before we go to Memphis, I'm going to be going to Chicago.
Now, are you taking Frida to Chicago with you?
I have offered to take Frida to Chicago with me, and she has turned me down.
Okay.
We have a late-breaking story.
Okay.
Deborah Dean is stuck in the elevator.
Oh, dear.
This is not funny.
Someone get a cell phone.
And someone should call Claybrook. Do we have a number? I'll get a number for her.
Do you want me to go down and help her?
Does the cell phone work in the elevator?
It depends on your service. Some do, some don't.
Well, what I'd like to do is maybe go down to the lobby.
Hold on. Get Deborah's number. Let me try to call her right here.
Okay.
Somebody get her cell phone number.
Do you want me to go down outside the elevator and, like, put my face up and go, Deborah?
Why don't we wait until we see if we can get her on her cell phone?
This is terrible.
Oh, my God. Deborah Dean, account executive at WJFK.
She's a nervous sort anyway.
Stuck in the elevator.
Oh, my God. Between the first and second floor.
God damn.
Yeah, we've got such a high rise here in Fairfax, Virginia.
But I'm telling you, on a hot day like today.
Yep.
She's going to melt.
Well, she doesn't sweat a lot. She's not a sweater.
I mean, she's going to melt, though.
She glows. Yeah. Rob just flew down the hallway. My God, that's as fast as I've ever seen him move.
Here he is with the number.
Deborah, Rob, that's as fast as I've seen you move in a long time.
Life is on the line.
Like the wind.
Deborah Dean Sell.
Oh, my God, someone call Claybrook.
That's CD.
CD.
Claybrook Dean.
All right, we're calling Deborah Dean.
Right Honorable Claybrook Dean.
Sales lady who works here at the station who's currently trapped in the elevator.
My God, save her.
What if the cable snaps?
Don't even talk that way.
I'm sorry. It's just, a horrible fear. My God.
Does she have enough oxygen?
I would hate that. If she died, I wasn't able to finally see those boobs.
Let me tell you something. I'd be willing to crawl down that elevator shaft to save the life of Deborah Dean.
Couldn't we pry open?
Reach the Sprint PCS voicemail box of 70.
Okay, I don't want to give out her name, her number, but I was hoping we'd have her name.
8.
Okay, Deborah.
To leave a voice message, press 1.
Deborah, it's Don and Mike.
Deborah, we're with you, honey. We hope you're okay.
Hang in there.
You're in the elevator.
Deborah, we love you. Please, hang on. Hang on. Conserve your oxygen. Well, we've got her?
Deborah.
Okay.
You know I've always wanted to see the beauties.
Deborah. Can we pry open the elevator door? Where is she stuck? Is she stuck up on the top floors?
Where is she stuck?
Rob's going to be right back.
Okay. Stay strong.
Don, it's all about saving a life.
Give us that smile.
Deborah.
Deborah, Deborah, Deborah.
Deborah, you can't die.
No, we need you to live and give. Give like you've always been giving.
We've got to see Iraq before you die. Please. All right.
It's necessary.
We'll call back. Bye-bye. We'll call your husband.
Don't they have those little trap doors, like at the top?
You know, you're thinking like of entrapment.
Yeah.
I don't think that these elevators are built that way.
Well, don't all elevators have like a door where you can escape?
You'd think so. They should.
We have the crappiest elevators in the world, though. Can they move possibly any slower?
You know, our elevators,
Wendell,
seriously.
Look at Wendell. Wendell's got the microphone.
our elevators are they're run by rope and actual monkeys. It's like the Flintstones. Monkeys are sitting at the top and the bottom, and they're pulling. And when Mike and I get in the elevator, the both of us, the monkeys, like on the Flintstones, they say, boy, this job really sucks.
If she can get that trap door open on top of the elevator, maybe somebody could, like, tie some Cheetos to a piece of twine and lower some food to her.
Mike, I believe Wendell is setting up a microphone, and you and I will attempt.
I frankly don't think Wendell's taking this seriously enough.
To save her.
Yeah, we're going to save her. We're going to save a life today. We're going to save a life today on the show.
Finally.
Save the life of Deborah Dean.
Wonderful.
So we've got to save her.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about Deborah over the years on the show. She's one of our favorites.
She is. She had a brief tour of duty, went away for a while, came back for another tour, as many people do here at WJFK.
Yeah, they all leave and they all come back.
They do. But now, you know, right now, as the clock ticks, precious oxygen might be leaving that elevator shaft.
Hello?
I have to send a canary down there. Isn't that what they do, the canary in a cage?
Yes. Well, let's to see if there's any methane.
Hello? Hey,
depends on whether she had lunch
first. Hey, Colette, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, is Deborah dead?
No.
Is she still trapped in the elevator?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my
God.
Mike and I are coming out to rescue her.
We're going to take care of this.
Okay.
Has anybody else done anything to rescue her?
I think they've called the fire department.
Oh, well, we don't need them. Mike and I can handle that.
We can rescue her. They love to visit her.
All right, bye-bye. Hold on. Here's a call on the hotline. Hello?
Hi, fellas. Live from the lobby. How you doing?
Okay. Oh, hi, Robbie.
Can you hear her, Rob?
Yes. It's not going to be loud enough to put on the air, but I just spotted elevator key, fire department, and emergency use only. Should we bust in to get the elevator key?
Hold on. Yeah, I think we should, but does Wendell have the microphone out there yet?
Yeah, I've got a microphone. Should I be, I guess, maybe BTS-1?
All right, hold on.
I'm talking into the microphone
right now.
All right,
wait a minute. Hold on. BTS-1. Hold on. Let me see.
You have to go to the back and hit 001 and take.
Okay, let me see. Rob?
Hello?
No, I ain't getting it there. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
We're going to get this worked out.
BTS-1. Is that the flip side of Buzz? There you go. All right, try it.
Wendell just came in here to get it sent.
Okay, check one.
There it is.
Hi, Rob. Check one. Hi, guys. How you doing?
I know there is a...
Break that
elevator key there, Jason. Use your big keychain to do it.
Here we go. The line.
All right, hold on.
Say hi to Don and Mike. We're going to save a life.
Hold on, Rob. Don't do it. Don't do it until Mike and I get out there.
Rob?
Okay. Okay, Don and Mike are actually going to come out. Everybody, Don and Mike are coming.
Hold on. Am I hearing this?
Be quiet.
There you go. There you go.
All right, keep talking,
way
Rob.
Way to go, Greg. Way to wait for Don and Mike.
Oh, did Greg Edger break the key already?
Hold on a second. Deborah, even better than the fire.
Well, he'll get
Don
the fine.
Don and Mike are going to come and save you.
Nothing like this has happened since
she
the
said, thank God.
Little girl fell in a well.
So we are now waiting Don and Mike to come to the lobby. They're going to get into the elevator and save the life of Deborah Dean. We are broadcasting live from the WJFK lobby right here at the Don and Mike Broadcast Center in Fairfax, Virginia. There's Don Geronimo and there's Mike O'Mara, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, Rob.
Stand back.
Rob, we figured it out. When the power went off, that has to be when Deborah was stuck in the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Deborah, baby, I love you. You're going to be all right.
Deborah. Mike, let's you and I both pull as hard as we can on these doors. Ready?
It's budging.
That's it.
How do you use an elevator key?
Oh, okay. Does this go in here?
There's no saving her.
Hold on. We have the elevator key. We're attempting now to figure out how to work the elevator key.
Now, if you want to see chimps try to work something,
oh, man.
You want to watch train this. Monkeys.
Yes.
Do we have to go upstairs?
Hold on, let me see. Deborah! Stomp if you can hear us!
Okay, Deborah! I love you!
Hey, Deborah!
I don't think we can hear her.
Everybody's got to be quiet so we can hear her. Hey, Deborah. When you get out, can I see your boobs? Yes.
Hey, here's little Tom. Little Tom, the building owner.
Why didn't you maintain this facility, you little bastard?
Sorry.
So, what do we have to do to get her out?
Apparently, we should try to go upstairs.
Well, let's take the elevator up. Oh, you can't do that.
Is there enough?
I'm not taking the step.
Is there enough cord to get the microphone upstairs? All right, let's try it. Here we go. We're now going up the stairwell.
We're in the stairwell right now. It's going to stop pretty soon.
Here we go. Hold on, Mike. Let me take it behind you, and you know what? I think we're going
to
make it.
You're listening to live, continuous coverage of the rescue of Deborah Dean on the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike are trying to make their way upstairs now with a microphone, and Wendell's trying to get them some extension lines so they can keep going.
Deborah!
A life is on the line.
Hold on! Deborah, we're here!
We're trying desperately, and is the fire department on its way? The fire department is on its way!
Deborah, how are your breasts?
What did she say? What was that? They're coming, Deborah. Don't worry. Do you have enough oxygen?
Oh, no.
She's short on oxygen.
Deborah! Damn it to hell!
Where is the fire department?
This is the second time in less than a month that we've called them.
Why don't all the men try to force open the doors?
All right.
Okay.
Ready? Here we go.
Right.
And.
Holy
goddamn it!
Ow! That's right. Where's the key?
Who's got the key?
I will not give up the key.
The key will not work.
Why the key will not work. Here, look.
Well, why won't it work?
Do you need, like, a special doohickey on that?
Yeah, you need a special doohickey.
If you've just tuned in...
She said she's very...
Okay, hold on.
Where's the fire department?
Everybody be quiet. Let's hear what Deborah has to say. These could be her final words.
Deborah, we're putting the microphone up to the door really loud so people can hear you.
What would you like to say?
She's freaked out. And I ain't gonna say... Where's the fire department?
If you are just tuned in, crisis on the Don and Mike show. Deborah Dean is stuck in the elevator.
Yes.
We had a power outage here when we were talking about Oral Roberts.
You know, we've got a lot of people up here, and I think that
we're going to try to open the door, Deborah. We're trying to open it right now. The fire department should be here any second.
Doesn't somebody have, like, a crowbar?
Wendell, do we have a crowbar?
Do we have a crowbar or something we can get this door open?
Where's the key? Where's the elevator key? Tom has the elevator.
It sounds like Deborah's right on the second. You're right on the second floor, right? We're going to try to pry the door
open. Try it again.
Try what again?
Try to open the door again.
All right. And.
No, that's not cool.
No. It's geared against it. Oh. Be done with the lock.
God damn this door.
Deborah, everything's going to be fine. You've got a lot of people that are concerned for you out here. Isn't that right, people?
Yeah!
We're going to get you out of there, Deborah, and we're going to get you out of there soon.
Or my name's not Mike O'Mara. And she didn't respond.
We're on their way.
Deborah, this is Don. I'm doing everything I can. She is still screaming. Now, I don't know. Try to press the button, Mike. Nothing happens. She is still screaming that the fire...
We can hear the sirens. The fire department is on the way.
The fire department is here, Deborah.
The fire department's here. It's just going to be a matter of seconds, Deborah. Hang on.
The breakthrough in the crisis.
Prepare your breasts.
Fire truck pulling up now in front of the station.
Wendell has gone down to greet the firemen. They should be up here in less than 30 seconds.
Deborah, less than 30 seconds.
Right now. Are they coming upstairs? I think
she says, hurry.
Two trucks. There's a hook and ladder.
A hook and ladder. We don't need a hook and ladder. We need a crowbar.
We just need firemen to bust open this thing.
I think it'll be a more relaxed environment if we all gently together, all of us, sing Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, my lord.
That always works for me.
Kumbaya.
Everybody, with feeling, please.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. And now if you could all repeat. Deborah, listen very carefully.
They're coming.
Repeat after me, everybody. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
In earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Forgive us our trespasses.
Skip that part.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. What, Deborah? Fire department is here. Hi.
Can I get everybody to leave the area right now?
Leave the area?
Man, we're going to broadcast this live.
Guys, we want to... Come on, please.
All right.
Oh, brother. Well, I don't see why you can't stand right here, Mike.
Now we're going to observe.
All right, now we're going to watch. We're going to watch the firefighters. All right, they're asking Deborah if she's okay.
We're going to try to get you out here in a couple seconds, all right? Hi. City.
Fairfax City. Fairfax City.
Hey, look at that thing. That'll work.
Look at this. Can we please leave the area? Can't we stand right here? I mean, we just want to...
We are out of
the way. All right. Okay. Right.
We will...
What are we going to do? Are we going to be sneaky? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, we'll stay right here. We're out of the area.
I get tired of being told what to do.
You know,
we're out of the area.
We're out of the area. We're not interfering with anything. We're just observing, like news reporters.
We're standing in the hallway. The firefighters,
right,
who we love and admire and respect,
absolutely,
are trying to free Deborah Dean. We simply want to be here.
We want to be here. We want to be here when it happens.
When she gets out.
I hear some more sirens, so now the professionals have it in control.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 firefighters looking at the elevator the same way we were.
This is true, and we have cleared the area. We are not interfering with the work that's being done. We are simply observing and checking things out.
This is not the first time Deborah Dean has required 7 firefighters.
I'm kidding.
And there goes some concerned employees. They're going to get lunch.
Yes, right.
Going to eat because nothing stops lunch.
Life goes on.
As Jason Vesey is demonstrating with his McDonald's meal in his hands.
Jason, do me a favor. Take a peek in there and tell me what's happening. Jason's going to look now.
All right, two guys struggling with the door. Got the key in there. They got a long, I'd say about a 5-foot pole that they attach to the key to get it open with.
Does it look like the opening of the door is imminent?
Well, they got one guy on the bottom with some sort of tool that he's using to pry the doors open. Another guy with the elevator tool in the door. And two other guys standing behind. They're talking to her right now, trying to reassure that they're going to get it open.
All right, let's see if we can hear.
The elevator door is open now on the first floor.
The outer elevator door is also open.
Excuse me? Go ahead and take care of this for you, Sriel.
Do you know, a little more concern about the elevator door and a little less concern about the disc jockeys, but that's what they're doing.
Now, what's happening downstairs, Lisa? What's happening?
The door is open at the elevator.
Oh, you want to go back downstairs?
Yeah, let's go back downstairs. I mean, we're just trying to save our employees' life, for goodness sakes.
Radio station building. I mean, we are serious about one of our coworkers.
This is good PR for them, man. They've got everybody else up there stuck behind the glass wall. At least they get to watch. We just want to hear what's happening. Okay, here we go.
Am I coming back down to the first floor? Awaiting the arrival of Deborah Dean.
Can you speak to Deborah?
One of our salespeople who got trapped in an elevator today. During a power failure on the shop.
You can see the base of the elevator right there. The elevator is almost entirely up to the second floor.
Hey, officer, is it okay if we say something to Deborah to make sure she's okay?
She can't hear you from here.
She can't hear? Even if we yell?
This is the bottom of the elevator.
Can I try?
You'd be better off upstairs.
They just kicked us out. Can we just try to yell at her?
No, not from right here, right now.
No. Now, right now, I guess it's not all the way up to the second floor. Is that right? It's not all the way up to the second
floor. Very close.
I'd say it's probably within about 18 inches of reaching.
She'll be able to, when they get that door open, she'll be able to climb out.
Shouldn't be hard at all, especially with the assistance of the firefighters.
And then she will thank us and the firefighters for rescuing her. What was that?
Oh, my God, Mike.
What was that?
Oh, my God. I don't know. You know, all I know is that everybody else from this radio station is allowed to stand around and look at it, but we're not allowed to look. And all we want to do is be there to save Deborah.
We want to save Deborah, but it's in the hands, Don, of professionals now.
The power just went back on.
Oh, that's what.
Here we go. Now something's happening.
We've got the occupant out. Go ahead and lock that.
They have the occupant out.
Deborah Dean is free.
Bring her to me! Someone go upstairs and bring her down.
Yes.
She's safe.
Thank God.
I'll go.
Recap what's happened. I think for
anyone just joining us.
Firefighters came in. They had to do their work. They asked us to clear the area, which we did. Then the firefighters successfully extricated Deborah Dean from the elevator. Thank God.
She was stuck in the elevator when we had a power outage. She is out now. She what?
She's freaking out a little bit. She's in the bathroom by herself.
Would you tell her that?